Hello, you are listening to The Wellness Project with Des. I'm your host, Desiree, a mental health therapist and holistic wellness coach. On my podcast, I interview experts in the field of mental health and wellness, as well as those who share their firsthand accounts of their mental health journeys. These interviews will give you many tips, tools, and strategies to improve your mental health, as well as give you hope, support, encouragement, and inspiration on your own personal mental health and wellness journey. Thanks so much for being here. I would greatly appreciate it if you took a moment to leave me a review on iTunes and leave the podcast 5 stars on Spotify. It really helps the podcast to grow, which in turn helps me to keep bringing on amazing guests and spreading mental health and wellness education and support. And make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss an episode. Are you ready to embark on a transformative journey towards holistic well-being, unlocking the full potential of your mind, body, and spirit? If so, I'm thrilled to invite you to my program, the Holistic Wellness Transformation Coaching Program. My one-to-one coaching program is a comprehensive and individualized approach to help you improve your overall well-being. As a holistic wellness coach, I'm here to guide you on a transformative journey to attain balance and harmony in all areas of your life. With personalized coaching sessions, I'll offer guidance and support throughout your wellness journey, starting with a thorough holistic assessment. We'll dive into your past, habits, thoughts, feelings, behaviors, and patterns that may be holding you back and no longer serving you. This assessment forms the foundation for your customized wellness plan. Together, we'll explore the 8 foundational elements of wellness to ensure you feel balanced and aligned with your goals and your values. This program goes beyond the surface, providing you with mental and emotional support. I will help you to manage stress, anxiety, and other challenges such as perfectionism and people-pleasing, offering techniques and strategies to enhance your resilience and your skills. The benefits of this program cannot be overstated. I'll be there every step of the way to support you in achieving balance and harmony in your life, manage stress, and improve your emotional well-being. Nurture healthy connections, create lasting, healthy habits, achieve your goals, and gain confidence in your ability to transform your life. Join me on this journey to holistic wellness. You could go to my website to check out my various packages, and you could go to my Calendly link found in the show notes to schedule a free 30-minute consultation call where we will go over the 8 core areas of wellness, as well as your goals and your dream life. Reach out and let's get started on your wellness journey so you can finally live the life you want. I'm your host, Des, and this is episode number 153. On today's episode, I am speaking with Ella Worsley. Ella has been through a lot in her life. She has experienced a lot of grief, a lot of trauma. She shares her story with us and also how she took her healing in her own hands. I do want to apologize. Our audio is not great. I don't know why, but Ella is from Australia. And for some reason, all of my guests from Australia, we always have audio issues. I don't know what it is, but it's like everyone I interview from Australia, for some reason we have connection issues. You can still hear the conversation, just the audio isn't great. I do encourage you to still listen because Ella's story is so inspirational and it's just a true, true story of resilience. I hope you're doing well this week. I'm recording this introduction on Sunday, April 7th, and I had the craziest weekend. So I'm in Denver, Colorado, for those of you who don't know, and we were expecting a windstorm over the weekend. We got a high wind warning. And because it's so dry and the high winds contribute to the risk of wildfires, a lot of areas actually, I know Boulder, actually turned off their power, just in case there were going to be downed power lines and things like that. My area was not calling for a scheduled shutdown, but we did lose power. I saw on nextdoor.com that power lines did go down, so I'm not exactly sure what happened, but we lost power Saturday at around 4 p.m., and the power didn't come back on until today, Sunday, at around 1 p.m. And Mark isn't home. He's actually in Rochester, New York, visiting his sister. He's trying to catch a good glimpse of the eclipse. So I was home alone this weekend with no power, but I was proud of myself. I did very well. I just went about my day Saturday regularly because, you know, it doesn't get dark until like 8 o'clock at night now, thankfully. So during the day, I was pretty much fine. I had eaten lunch already and I didn't have Wi-Fi or anything, so I spent a lot of time reading. The outage did ruin my plans of walking on our treadmill, but that is okay. I spent a ton of time reading. I actually finished my book, which I'm really happy about because I'm a little behind on my reading goal. I did want to finish that book before April 1st, but that's okay. Starting my new book today. If you follow me on my travel Instagram account at The World According to Des, or we're friends on Facebook, you'll see that we just got back from Mexico a week ago. And I brought a book to read during our trip and I never got to it. Well, that's a lie. I read 4 pages of it and that was it. So I planned to read a lot more, but it just wasn't in the cards. It didn't happen. We were just getting back late every night and we were just so tired every day. And I was trying to keep a journal. When I travel, I like to journal about our days. So that takes up a lot of time. So the power outage helped me with my goal. I did read like 50 pages yesterday, which is very untypical of me. I usually read around like 10 or 15 the most. And then it got dark around 8 p.m. and that's when I started actually editing this episode. Mark and I have a power supply, so I knew that my computer would be fine. I'd be able to charge it if it died, but thankfully it was fully charged. So I spent a lot of time editing this episode. And then when I was done, I was able to use my headlamp and my battery-operated candle. And then I pretty much just brushed my teeth and went to bed around 10, 10:30. But I couldn't really sleep. I was honestly a little freaked out. It was just so pitch black. Thankfully, we do have solar lights leading up to our house, so our house was lit up a bit. But I was honestly a little freaked out, so I didn't sleep well last night. And then I was very upset to wake up this morning and find that we still didn't have any power and there was still no update about any estimate from Xcel about when it would come back on. But coincidentally and luckily enough, yesterday I made some hard-boiled eggs and actually baked some cookies. So I did have eggs for breakfast and some canned applesauce. And I figured for lunch, if the power wasn't on yet, I would just order takeout or go out and see if any restaurants were open because not everyone in the area lost power. I actually texted a few of my coworkers that live nearby and neither of them lost power. We also have a little camping stove. I don't really know how to use it, but Mark was going to walk me through it on the phone if I did need it. But luckily I didn't. The power came back on and I just made some ramen for lunch because I opened our fridge and it smelled bad. I had to sort through it and I threw a bunch of stuff out. I'm still deciding on what's okay to keep and what's not okay to keep because we lost power a total of 21 hours. And Mark looked it up and it says that the model of our fridge stays cold after losing power for about 7 to 8 hours. So still trying to decide what's okay to keep and what's not. But anyway, that was my adventurous weekend. Thankfully, the power is back on now, so I'm able to record this intro for you guys, get this episode scheduled to get out for you to listen to. And after this, I do plan to walk on the treadmill. I've been trying to do that more. I've been trying to get more steps in because I have a job where I sit a lot of the day, so I do have a sedentary lifestyle, which I definitely feel impacting my body a lot. It actually hurts my body to sit all day, so I've been trying to stand during my lunch breaks and try to walk on the treadmill when I can. So after I get this episode all set up, that's the plan. This is a really great conversation. I think that you're going to get a lot out of it. And if nothing else, it's going to give you so much hope that things can get better and that whatever position you're in right now, if things are not going well, just know that it is temporary and you are able to take control of your life, take your life in your own hands, and make some shifts. And Ella is going to talk with us today about how she did just that. So help me welcome Ella.
Hi, Ella. Thank you so much for being here with me today.
Thank you for having me.
I'm really looking forward to this conversation. We're getting into a whole lot and you have such an inspiring story. So I'm really looking forward to hearing that today and for you to share that with our listeners. So to get us started, could you introduce yourself and share your story with us?
Yeah, definitely. My name is Ella Worsley. I am from Australia, as you can probably tell by my accent. I am many things. I'm a podcast host myself. I run retreats. I'm a therapist. I work with four different healing modalities. I combine kind of coaching and counseling practices. And I am really passionate about human potential, healing, inner transformation, and really just taking people through life experiences and things that I've been through, you know, the things that I needed to hear along the way and the support that I needed once upon a time. I love that I can now come from that space of knowing and supporting people in that capacity as well. So I guess you could say that my life experiences and my journey have really opened up that door for me. And I remember from a young age just really wanting to help people. To kind of kick off my story, I guess you could say that, you know, the lead up to 6 years old, there was still a lot of things that happened in my life. At 6 years of age is where I kind of usually start my story from. My beautiful uncle was murdered, and it was a really traumatic event for our family. And it was something that really plummeted my mum and my grandmother into a lot of grief. And it was this storm cloud that came in and essentially swallowed us whole, because my mum and dad had been going through their own kind of internal processes, external processes prior to that. There'd been a lot of stressful things and trauma that experiences. My mum's come from a really big background of trauma. There's been a lot of generational trauma down her timeline. So it was like the straw that broke the camel's back. And it was something that, again, plummeted us into that darkness. And it was a really hard time. A year later, my beautiful brother was born. So, you know, as you can imagine, all the parents listening to this, having a, you know, a newborn baby and being in the depths of grief after losing your brother in such a traumatic way was a really hard thing for my mom. My dad was going through a lot of injuries. He'd had some car accidents. He was being over-medicated and was in a really bad space within himself. So as a young child, it was pretty hard at, you know, 6, 7 years of age to have a new child coming into the family. My other brother was about 3 or 4 at that stage. And so, you know, I grew up really quickly. And I remember from a young age just really wanting to help my family and help my parents, because I just saw them sad. I saw them, you know, not coping very well. And I wanted desperately to be able to help them and to bring them back to being those happy parents that I once knew. But unfortunately, things didn't go that way for a little while. And my parents did go through a really messy divorce. There was a lot of hurt thrown around. There was a lot of things that happened. And, you know, they just weren't in their best selves and they weren't showing up as themselves. And unfortunately, it was the fall apart of our family unit as we knew it. And so going into my teenage years, both my parents were both really on their own individual journeys and really struggling with lots of things still. And I just remember feeling really unseen and unheard, wanting attention and feeling really angry and just not knowing how to cope with life. And so I went through some pretty big traumatic experiences. I had my first ever boyfriend cheat on me, which was a really hard thing to go through because, you know, the love of my life, my first ever boyfriend, opening up my heart, you know, having that happen to me was a really hard thing. I also went through an abortion, and that was a really hard experience and a big decision to have to make at 15 years of age because, you know, I just was in such a bad space within myself that it was just something that I couldn't do. And so, you know, I'll always remember sitting in that doctor's office and hearing those words and just going into shock. What do you mean that this is happening within my body right now? And having to book in an appointment to have that process done, to then have to go back to high school the next day and to act like I was, you know, this carefree, stressful kid that kids like that were all around me was a really hard thing to do. You know, I couldn't open up about it to my friends. I didn't know how to speak into it. And it was something that really started a cycle of self-hate for me. I really hated myself for having to make that decision. I really punished myself for a really long time. And it was, again, a really big cycle of self-hate that came from that. At 16, I was brutally in hospital. I had a man and a woman attack me, hold me down, knock me out. I remember just losing consciousness and coming to and then getting knocked back out. Just a really frightening experience and a time where I just felt really out of control within my body. I've had unwanted sexual experiences. I almost died when I was 17 from alcohol poisoning and stopped breathing. And I remember that day just feeling like I didn't want to be here anymore. I was really struggling with all the life experiences that I was having. And I felt like every time I'd start to heal and start to open up the door and things would start to get a little bit better, like something else would come along. And, you know, as a teenager, the weight was just too unbearable. And, you know, my parents, you know, bless them, were doing their best they could, but they were still struggling with their stuff so much throughout teenage years. Our whole family was a mess, so to speak. So I didn't really feel like I had anybody that I could really lean on to support me through these experiences. And it was a really internal journey that I had to go through. So that day, I remember the taste of straight vodka, and I don't remember making a conscious decision to not be here anymore, but I just remember losing consciousness and waking up 8 hours later in a hospital bed, you know, having a drip in my arm and just having no recollection of what had happened. I just remember that loss of control that I experienced then, and just things kept going that way for a long time. I had more traumatic things happen to me. I got really lost in drugs and alcohol and seeking all of these things outside of myself to escape the inner reality and the inner turmoil that I was experiencing. I was always seeking validation from people externally. I was always looking for my self-worth in men, relationships, sex, jobs, you know, validation, achievements. I was always feeling like there must be something wrong with me. There must be something that I need to get to, because why else would I be going through all of these things? I mean, why else would I have had to experience these life experiences I've gone through? Yeah, I still went through a lot of things. I was attacked again when I was traveling in Greece. I had other unwanted things happen to me along the way. I lost really control of myself in my early 20s. Again, just all of these kind of accumulation of events that finally got me to the space where I decided that it was time to heal. It was time to move forward. And so I made that conscious decision. I opened up about the things that I'd gone through. I got support. I started my healing. And 8 years later, here I am doing this work with other people and, you know, in a space of deep gratitude for my story and for my experiences, because I know that I now come from that depth within the work that I do with people. And I really see people in their hurt. When I sit across from them and I hear their pain, I hear their life experiences, I'm like, I get it. I see you. I've been there, and there's a way forward.
Wow, Ella, that's such a powerful story. Thank you so much for sharing all of that. I mean, you've been through so much and so many things that so many people just have such a hard time with that and moving forward. And like you said, you made the conscious decision to make a change in your life and to keep going. And how did you do that after everything that you've been through? Where did that resilience come from?
I think when you grow up with a lot of chaos, you do develop a level of resilience. Like, I moved around a lot as a child. I remember, I think by the time I was 18, I lived in like 38 houses. So there was like constant moving and chaos and constant change, right? I guess a positive byproduct of that is you do develop resilience, because you sometimes have to adapt. I remember being in Sydney and just, I remember missing a flight by 24 hours. And I was meant to go home for Christmas and see my family. And it was really expensive mistake. And I remember just sitting in my room and crying and being like, how did I miss this flight for 24 hours? Like, how did I make such a big mistake? I'm always, you know, on time and I'm doing things. And I like to think of myself as someone that really does show up for things. And I had this out of body experience of like, I'm not me and this isn't me. And I'm not living in alignment with who I really am. And I'm not happy. And I'm struggling. And I'm anxious every day. I'm feeling really depressed. And it's like years of things started to really finally come in, and it just smacked me in the face. And I had this beautiful like wake up moment of like, actually, I need to change my life. And I think it's going to happen. It's going to be up to me to do that.
So what were the actual steps then that you took to make that change? What was kind of your very first step?
Seeking some professional support. I mean, first of all, it was radical responsibility with myself. I think, you know, we need to be honest with ourselves that like, hey, things aren't good, or hey, there's something here that we need to work on. But the second thing was I went and got professional help. And I had been having professional aid, but I'd never been in a space where I could fully receive it. I'd never been in a space where I could really open up and allow the support in. I was just like shut down in all of the therapy sessions I'd ever gone to. So I got to a space where I opened up and I really allowed people into my internal world. And I, you know, started sharing about things and talking about things. And I remember sharing things with friends that I've had for a really long time. And they just were so surprised. I was like, really? That's what you've been going through? Because I'd always been this happy, smiley, positive person on the outside, even when internally I'd felt like I was dying. Moving out of the shame and actually just being able to say, hey, these are some of my life experiences. These are some of the things that I've been struggling with. And being witnessed in that by people was a really pivotal thing for me, because it really shifted some of those things that I'd been feeling shame around into a space of acceptance of like, this happened and it wasn't okay, but I can't change it. And it doesn't make me any less of a person, because I think sometimes when you do experience trauma or you do things, especially when you do things maybe that you're not proud of or things people do things to you, there is this underlying shame that we can experience that can kind of stop us from opening up and sharing. So I think for myself, actually sharing that was a really pivotal thing. I went on a journey of healing then with like healing modalities, therapists, sharing things with my family, having open conversations with people, and just, yeah, it's like once I took the cap off, everything just came out, and it was just like this explosion of emotion and feeling and reflections. And it was, you know, a really big time of processing, but getting people to support me through that was critical.
Yeah, that support can be so, so important. It's the foundation of healing, I think. You know, we're meant to connect with others and share ourselves and our stories. That's so great that that was a shift that you were able to make in your life. You were able to kind of form these safe and secure relationships after a lot of, you know, these different harmful relationships in your life. How are you able to open yourself up to other people? That could be so challenging for people that have been hurt and scarred and abused and damaged by and taken advantage of by other people. So how did you go about that? I know so many people, they want to connect, but there's that fear there and there's so much hurt and there's so much pain and almost this protection to kind of close themselves off from people to protect from all that hurt and pain. So how did you start to open up?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I mentioned, I moved around a lot. So when you move around that lot and you go to so many different schools and you live in so many different areas, you know, and start to develop relationships with people, but that only gets so deep before we then uproot and move away as well. So I got into my early 20s and relationships was really an area of work for me, because I'd, again, moved around so much. And I'd also then started to develop that pattern myself of like every, you know, year or 2 years, I'd live somewhere and then I'd suddenly, I went overseas for 9 months, and then I moved to Sydney and I moved to Brisbane and the Gold Coast, and like I've lived in lots of different spaces because I was stuck and my nervous system was stuck in this cycle of chaos, so to speak. You know, with that, there's been a lot of unlearning of things, and you know, learning how to receive support, learning how to let people in has been a huge part of my journey. I think probably only up until my recent relationship is I've actually let my partner in. Like upon reflection, I really never let in, because I think there was always that one foot out the door of like, if the pain comes again and I get hurt, I'm ready to go kind of thing. So, you know, this relationship that I'm in now has been deeply fulfilling in that. And it's been hard at times. I've had to really, you know, let him in. And I'm really grateful that I've landed with such a beautiful, conscious, loving, understanding man. But there's been times where, you know, even when things have been good, I've wanted to look for the problems because that's all I've known. So I think, you know, when you do start to really open up to people, it is scary. But, you know, finding the people that you feel safe with and finding the people that can really meet you in those spaces and knowing that not everybody's going to. So it's not about going out and being open and vulnerable with everybody, because, you know, not everyone's going to be able to receive that from you. So, you know, being discerning in where you start and just starting, you know, exposure therapy is a really beautiful way of doing it. Oh, I might just share a little bit of vulnerability. Oh, okay, I'm going to contract a little bit again. And then it's like, oh, I'm going to expand. I'm going to share a little bit more. And then, okay, that felt a little bit scary. And over time, what happens is, you know, this will happen for me is like I started to realize, oh, I'm not going to die. There's not a tiger coming out. Like there's not a truck coming to hit me. Like I started to create safety internally for myself and realized that not everybody wanted to hurt me, because I did have a story for such a long time that if I let people in, if I let people really see me, then I could be hurt because I had experienced pain and hurt from people that have known me very well. And so it's working with your own belief systems, working with your body, working with your nervous system, getting the support from other people. There's lots of different, obviously, elements of this, but I know through my own life that being able to lean into vulnerability and support and open up to loving and safe relationships again, it's so possible, and it's possible for everybody.
So important. I'm so glad that you shared that. I think that will give a lot of people so much hope, because I think that we do want to connect, but we have that fear. So you said that you were able to move out of shame and more into acceptance, and now you've made peace with your past. Can you speak to that a little bit and kind of explain how you went about that and moved into that space?
There's emotion attached to a lot of life experiences, and often, you know, shame is a very big one, because we may have had things happen to us, or we may have done things that we, you know, we're not proud of, or, you know, that we didn't want to experience. So shame is often a very common emotion, and it was a big one for me. There was so much shame around the things that had happened to me, but the things that I'd also done as well. Again, for myself, actually sharing that in safe spaces with people and not keeping it locked away in this tiny little hidden box in a cupboard in this black little area, part of my life that no one got access to, because I think even the act of doing that makes us feel like there's something wrong with it. And so taking it out of that dark space, you know, unlocking the box, opening it up and saying, hey, this is a life experience that I've had, we're kind of sending that message to ourselves. This is okay now. We can find peace with this. So for me, that was a really transformational part of it, was actually allowing myself to take it out of that locked up space internally and to share it in safe spaces with people and to be witnessed in my experiences without judgment, without criticism, and be met with love and acceptance and like, thank you for sharing that with me. So that was really pivotal for me in terms of shifting the shame. Obviously, then doing some somatic work, you know, clearing things out of my body, because there was a lot of stuff that I had kept in my body as well. So working with practitioners, some practices that I did then did myself, you know, shifting anger, shame, rage, lots of different things. Because, you know, if we have still got that emotional charge towards those things, you know, we can heal things on that logical mind level, but we're still going to be kind of keeping them trapped in our body as well. So working with the body practices was big for me. But finding peace with my past, to me, what that really means and how I've done that is just knowing that we can't change the past. There's nothing that we can do. And I know sometimes we want to wave that magic wand and go back there and rewrite some of those experiences, but we can't actually do that. And I think when you come into acceptance of there's nothing that I can do to go and change that, it's happened, it's done. And you can really land in that space of knowing that that is true, you can start to find peace with it, because you realize that you are in control of the way that you feel about it. You're in control of the meaning that you've created from the life experiences. You're in control of the way that you now live your life moving forward as well. So there's so much that you are in control of. So again, that acceptance piece, coming back in and controlling the things that you can control, and just allowing yourself to see the higher perspective, see the lesson, see the learning, see how maybe these things were meant to come in for a reason. Maybe all of these life experiences were meant to be here for a particular purpose that truly does support us in finding peace with it all, knowing that it's happened, it's done, there's nothing we can do to change it, but we can find gratitude for those experiences, because, you know, they've made us who we are today. You know, for some people, I know that's not a great statement. If we're living in fear, if we're in fight or flight, if we're shut down, like, it's hard to find gratitude for those experiences when that's your reality. But if you choose to find the healing and move through it, there is a space that you land in where you can look back and be like, wow, I'm resilient, I'm badass, I'm loving, I'm compassionate. Like, I am all of these things because of the things that happened to me. And would I still be the same person had I not been through that journey? I don't know. But I know that everything that I've been through has really made me the awesome human that I am today, that I deeply love.
I absolutely love that. Thank you so much for sharing. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your story. It's so inspirational. Do you have any words of wisdom or advice or inspiration for our listeners?
you are so much more powerful and capable than you realize. So much more resilient, so much more resourceful than we give ourselves credit for sometimes. So, you know, if you're having a hard chapter of your life, remembering that this, you know, might just be a chapter, might be a season of life. It doesn't mean that it needs to be a forever. And there's always support available, and you're so worthy and deserving of support, knowing that, you know, another reality, another kind of life is always available to you. And I know that that statement, when we're not in a great space, can seem really unbelievable. Like, yeah, right, Ella, like, things have been this way for such a long time. But, you know, believe me when I say that everything can change, and everything can change in a really beautiful, positive way, because it truly can. And I've seen the most amazing miracles happen in the work that I do. I've seen people completely transform their lives. I've seen so much happen, and it's just put so much faith in me that there's so much available to humans within their own potential, should they choose it.
Great. Thank you so much for sharing that. So powerful. Ella, I would love it if you would share where everyone can find you.
Yeah, beautiful. I am on Instagram or Facebook, Ella Worsley. That's Worsley. A bit of a tongue twister, that one. I am also on Insight Timer. I'm a meditation teacher over there. I have a podcast called Wildly Worthy, and I am the co-founder of The Enlightened Co. So The Enlightened Co, you can just Google us and you'll find all of the different things that we do.
Awesome. Everyone, I'm going to put all of those links in the show notes. So definitely go check Ella out. And Ella, that's so funny. I just downloaded Insight Timer yesterday, so I'm going to have to look out for you on there. How funny.
Great app.
Oh, I haven't checked it out yet. And I had no idea you were on there. So that's awesome. Definitely going to look for you. Ella, thank you so much for being here today and sharing your powerful and inspirational story. I appreciate it so much.
Thank you for having me.
I really hope that you liked this episode and gained a lot of value from it. If you did like this episode, please share it on social media. You can tag me at The Wellness Project with Des on Instagram and at According to Des on Facebook. If you do enjoy my podcast and gain value from it, I would greatly appreciate your support. You can show your love and support by buying me a coffee. This will help my podcast to grow and in turn will help me to keep bringing on amazing guests. You can go to buymeacoffee.com/thewellnessprojectwithdes to show your support. All books written by or recommended by my amazing podcast guests are listed on my Amazon storefront. Go to the link in the show notes to check out those books. I would love to extend an invite to you to become a part of my community. You can do this through Facebook, where we will be discussing this episode. I would love for you to share your insights, any aha moments, any thoughts or ideas you would like to contribute. You can contribute in the discussion taking place in my Facebook group, and it's a great place to connect with me because I am in there every day with mental health and wellness content, discussions, reflections, journal prompts. It's a fun and supportive place to be. You can find the group at facebook.com/groups/accordingtodes, and that link will also be in the show notes. You can also check out more of what I'm doing on my website, accordingtodes.com. You'll find a lot of wellness blogs, written interviews, detailed podcast show notes, and my shop, where you will be able to find workshops, my self-care course, digital downloads, ebooks. There's a lot going on my website, so make sure you check that out at accordingtodes.com. And while you're there, join my email list to stay in the know about what I have going on and available for you. When you sign up, you will get your free ebook, The 5 Stress Reduction Techniques to Help You Feel More Relaxed. Thank you so much for being here. I will talk to you next week. So until then, I hope you have a calm and peaceful week.